7 years ago, between June 8th and today, my wife was in the hospital, and she was just waiting for Nat to be born. So today's his birthday. You maybe want to give him a hand. And it's been an arduous struggle ever since. No, it has been a real delight, and we're proud of Nat and just grateful that he's here fellowshipping with us. I ask you to turn your Bibles for a moment to John chapter 15. Passage that was read this morning at our Psalm 133. We're going to refer back to it, but I'm wondering if maybe the Lord Jesus wasn't thinking of this as he was thinking about his disciples and breaking bread with them. John 15 is in the upper room. They've been talking about all kinds of different things, and he's washed their feet, and he wants them to know in the most intimate way that he loves them, cares for them. And as you and I are here this morning in the Adult Bible Fellowship, I got everybody to get real close to each other, to the point they could smell each other's deodorant. But the idea was to just see that we're a family. You say, I just don't know such and such and so on. Well, sit next to them on a Sunday. See if they're opening their Bibles. Find out where they work. What are they doing for lunch? Find out what their interests are. Lord Jesus knew these men with whom he was having his last meal with. John chapter 15, verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now, this same Jesus knew all about human history. He knew about David's fall. He knew about Abraham's lying. He knew about all the atrocities. He knew about the fracture of his people. And then he knew that his disciples would struggle with his death and resurrection. The resurrection, by the way, if it wasn't for the fact that they had clearly seen him as dead, they probably would have wondered. There's all kinds of speculation, and even today there still is. But they were absolutely convinced. And then they tried to understand for those next 40 days, what would be the implication for their lives? How would they live out the rest of their lives? And then they would go from house to house and they would break bread and they would share in common with one another, as we read in Acts chapter 2, verse 10. If you obey my commands, you'll remain in my love. You'll abide in it. You'll enjoy it. You'll relish in it. You'll never want to leave it. You'll enjoy that intimacy with the Lord, which, by the way, every human being needs. Everyone here who knows the Lord needs, regardless of age, this abiding love with the Lord. Just as I, Jesus says, as I have obeyed my Father's command and remain in his love, I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. You can put down 1 John chapter 1, verse 4 next to that if you'd like. And then he says this, my command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. The whole point of Psalm 133 was to see the love of God as he was anointing Aaron. God clearly demonstrated his love on Aaron as his appointed high priest here on earth to represent him in a most intimate way. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one in this than he laid down his life for his friends. You're my friends if you do what I command you. What I command, NIV. Verse 15, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. And the word friends here is meant to convey, on a human level, the closest possible intimacy that you and I can enjoy. Yes, we are brothers in Christ, but in friendship, there's this mutual experience of just simply delighting in being together, worshiping God together. And the Lord Jesus says, I'm calling you friends. We're worshiping God together. A servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything I've learned from my Father I've made known to you. And so by his word and having preserved it for us, God has made known to us the most intimate inclinations of his heart in words that we can understand. And he's preserved it so that we can mature and we can grow, and that we too can enjoy friendship together. May the Lord bless our time as we reflect on some of these thoughts a little later as well. I just want to invite some of the other men to come up and share those things that you've been meditating upon, and looking forward to that.
Out of John 10 and Psalm 23. So John 10, verse 10 and 11. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And turn over to Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Been really starting to appreciate this psalm more. And acknowledging the Lord Jesus as my shepherd. The way he leads me, challenges me. The way he leads me by quiet waters. Those quiet waters can be just taking time to listen, as John reminded us this morning. To listen to the word. You know, to hear that, like we read in John 10, I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. To have rest. More and more, he's becoming my rest. Because all around us, it's often chaos. There's so much that occupies our minds. Life is so busy because we make it that way. But we can come to the Lord and rest. rest in a sense also trusting Him that He's paid the penalty of my sin. I don't know what I'd do if I had to still figure out how am I going to make it. Praise the Lord that He has paid the penalty of all of my sins, and that I can be at peace with Him, and that He's my shepherd. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You that You care for us. You laid down Your life so that we could have life. Help us to hear what You're trying to tell us. Help us to understand. Help us to worship You. Help us to find our rest in You. Thank You that we can be at peace with You and that You are slow to anger. You're gracious and compassionate. Lord, as we remember today that You laid down Your life, that You paid the penalty of our sin, I pray that You would be honored by our worship here today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Starting in verse 11. When Christ came as high priest of the good things that are already here, He went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not man-made. That is to say, not a part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but He entered the most holy place once for all by His own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more, then, will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God? For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, now that He has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. Then go to verse 27. Just as man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people, and He will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for Him. Let's pray. Thank You so much, Lord, for what You did for us, and for that You, like Frank said, didn't treat us like our sins deserve, and that You took our place on the cross. Pray that You would help us to share that good news with others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 3. Start reading at verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself, just as He is pure. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we want to thank You for Your love, for a love that is unspeakable. We don't really have any words to describe it, and that You call us as believers in You, Your children, is absolutely amazing. We thank You that You love us so much. Help us, Father, in turn, to love others as You've loved us. Help us to love those who maybe aren't easy to love. Help us to reflect Your love and Your light, Lord, that others will be drawn to You. We do thank You for all You are. In Jesus' name, amen.
Privilege that we have to be able to break bread. You know, it's difficult for us to imagine exactly what took place when disciples met with the Lord. I suspect that, like a lot of you, they were, as they celebrated Passover, they were thinking about other matters as well. When they were in the Garden of Gethsemane and the Lord Jesus asked them if they could join him and pray, and they just couldn't keep the focus. Ephesians chapter 4, if you wouldn't mind, just for a moment. Paul is writing a letter to a church that he'd spent 3 years getting to know. And the church likely wasn't as large as ours. It was probably a few households. And they gathered. They'd break bread. And they'd go from house to house and do the same thing with a few more friends. Ephesus was the largest city in Asia Minor. But here he's writing from prison, and likely he's under house arrest from AD 60 to 62. And he hears that there is some challenges in this church. He says, as a prisoner for the Lord. Now he counts that a privilege, by the way. I urge you to live a life worthy. Worthy of the calling that you have received. Everyone here who has placed their trust in the Lord Jesus has received a calling. In a very real sense, that calling is simply this, to live your life and demonstrate that you love God. In that demonstration of you loving God, it comes with loving others. Whether you're a child, whether you're a parent, whether you're a co-worker, this love that we read about in John 15, which Corney made reference to in 1 John 3. This calling to love God and to love people so that others can see, and then we would have an opportunity to actually share the truth. Now, not everybody that you seek to love, Jesus knew this, will appreciate your efforts. We break bread because we've come to appreciate the efforts that God had lived out for us. We bow our heads and we pray and we say, thank you, Lord, because we realize the life that was given so that we could be free. And Paul knew that in spite of all of this truth that we've come to understand, he knew that the body was diverse and everybody was at a different stage in their understanding and maturity. And he says here in this next verse, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. And he says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. That verse is what God was doing through Aaron as the high priest. It was what Jesus was doing through the Acts 9 passage that John read for us. The unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace was that Jesus says, I've come to give you peace. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. And in the proclamation, the angels came down and they said, "Here, who is this? This is Emmanuel, God with us." Yeah. Praise be in the highest. Peace and goodwill towards all men. Aaron was experiencing the peace of God in that anointing that he had received. God had been calling him to a ministry to be an intercessor, to be a mediator. And to simply love as God loves. Of course, you know something about Aaron. He had some children with him. And in the priesthood, the idea was is that you would teach your children how to live, and so hence your children would follow with you. And of course, he had two boys who didn't fully understand that unity and that love. And somewhere they made an error in judgment, possibly in attitude, we don't really know. And Aaron suffered the grief. Out of his interest to preserve the unity of the love of God for man, he suffered the grief and the loss of his own sons in the priesthood. The unity that we experience here this morning is completely voluntary. It always has been. Voluntarily worshiping God and being united to Him is what God calls us to, but even though He would command us to love one another, it's still voluntary. Although He commands us to love the Lord your God with all your heart, it's still voluntary. Verse 4, there is one body and one spirit. There is one loaf and there is one cup. All expressions of the unity where the love of God was lavished upon us so that we could be called children of God, so that we could be called friends of God, so that we could be called prisoners of the Lord. And the titles go on and on to simply picture our response to the love of God. Thank you for being here this morning. Your desire to come and break bread is an expression of not only your love for God, but it's to be an expression of your love for one another. It's a privilege to be able to break bread with you. I'm going to ask those of you who are serving to come forward at this time. This morning, if you are sensitive to gluten and would like to break bread, we have some bread here that's gluten-free. And so one of the brethren here are going to pass that around, but would you put your hand up so they can see you when... So I'm going to say Corny's going to take that basket. And so Corny needs to see your hand, okay, if you're gluten intolerant and would like to break bread this morning, okay? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. We thank you that you love us. We thank you that we have this privilege to be able to commune with you as you communed with your disciples. And as you washed their feet, you sought to cleanse their conscience and to allow them to know that they've been invited to work with you and to serve. And so at your invitation, we bow the knee, and our desire is to reciprocate in loving one another, as it were, to wash each other's feet. in a manner of forgiving one another and confessing where we fail. And in turn, Lord, just saying that what you have done for us, we seek to do for one another. You know, Lord, the burdens and the cares that these men and women and young people carry. I thank you, Lord, that you love each one. Thank you, Lord, that you invite each of us to come and break bread with you. You invite us to be your friends, your children. Help us to walk in the light of your truth out of a deep sense of appreciation for all that you've done. As we partake of the loaf now, we pass it from one to another. Lord, we recognize that we're part of one body, which that loaf represents. We know that you, Lord, as the bread of life, gave yourself so that you could sustain our life, give us life. And so we pray that we would continue as we break bread in weeks and days to come, that we would seek to preserve the unity between God and man and one another here in your body. Bless it as we pass it from one to another. In Jesus' name, amen. And said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Lord, we come to you again and just want to thank you. It's so overwhelming to think of how much you love us and what it cost for you to give your life so that we could be set free, so that we could be declared righteous. Thank you for your willingness to shed your blood so that we could be set free. Just ask you to bless the cup as we partake of it. In Jesus' name, amen.
After supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. Let's stand and close in a word of prayer together. Thank you, Lord, for each family represented here today. You understand us completely. You know, Lord, that we're all growing and maturing. There are times when we look in the mirror of your word and we say, "Lord, thank you for being patient with us. Thank you for forgiving and just continuing to love, even though I don't fully appreciate your love." And so I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ and pray that they would continue to draw near to you, find their strength in your word, that they would pause and reflect upon what we've done here today. And that, and just as Aaron was being smiled upon by you, that we would realize, "Lord, you too have called us your sons and your daughters. You've called us friends. And you endeavor to live out your life in us and through us." And so bless this congregation. Not only these believers here, but believers around the world who are breaking bread, men and women who are reflecting upon your love, your mercy and your grace. Help us, Lord, to take the good news that we've received and help us to be willing to share it with others. Clarity and recognizing that for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have the gift of eternal life. Thank you for your love. Bless our remainder of our day as we gather around our tables, as we hold hands and we give thanks. Bless each one, Lord. Build your church in Jesus' name. Amen. Greet each other with a holy handshake. Lord bless you.